KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. Monkeypox is spreading more widely around the Bay Area. The San Francisco Department of Public Health says it's been literally begging for more vaccines, and the federal government has been criticized for what some have been calling a lack of urgency in the response to monkeypox. Joining us today to discuss all of this is Dr. Monica Gandhi, UCSF Professor of Medicine and Medical Director of Ward 86, the HIV clinic at San Francisco General Hospital. Dr. Gandhi, welcome back to As Prescribed.
Hi, thank you.
So, doctor, we know that monkeypox can affect anyone, but this particular outbreak is spreading among men who have sex with men. So if people think they're at risk, exposed, what should they do?
So essentially, those who are at risk, like you just said right now, in this large, quote, non-endemic monkeypox outbreak, seem to be mostly men who have sex with men, so gay and bisexual men. There's about 13,000 cases now since May 13th around the world in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Europe. And essentially, if you think you've been exposed, the way to know you've been exposed is essentially if you've had a partner who has monkeypox lesions, or if you have multiple sex partners, even if you don't have someone that you know had lesions, just having multiple sex partners and being in an area where it's spreading, that puts you at risk.
And when it comes to testing, it's not, as we knew with COVID, that you can just run out and get a test. You actually have to have a lesion, right?
Right. So the thing about monkeypox is that you don't diagnose it with a nasal swab or a blood test. You actually have to have a lesion to test for it. The way we test for it is we actually, what's called unroof the lesion, take off the top part of the lesion, get some fluid from underneath and send that off for testing. We really can't test you until you have symptoms. And unfortunately, tests have been taking a long time, hard to come by. The CDC was the only one that was verifying the testing up till recently. Then they interacted with LabCorp and then Mayo Clinic, and now we have more testing capacity. But you have to have lesions, you have to have symptoms. Otherwise, there's no way to test for it.
So there are calls now to vaccinate people more widely who might be at risk, but there's a shortage of shots. So how do you think we should be approaching the vaccination campaign?
Yes. So this has been an upsetting and really frustrating aspect of the U.S. response. I wrote a piece in The Atlantic on June 24th that said the U.S. is underreacting to monkeypox. And now we're here about 3 weeks later, and we still don't have the vaccine supplies we need. The vaccine that we need is called the Jynneos vaccine. It's actually really safe, and it protects against smallpox. That's what it was developed for, but it has amazing cross-protection against monkeypox. And we just have not gotten doses fast enough in the United States. There was a bureaucratic delay. There were all these doses waiting in Denmark that we could have taken, that the EU had approved of, but the US wanted to wait till the FDA cleared these doses, even though the EU is great and they cleared the doses. So because of that, it's been really frustrating. We don't have enough doses. We did finally get those doses from Denmark. Supposedly the US is going to have 800,000 doses by the end of July. But at this point, we don't have enough doses. So if you don't have enough doses, just like at the beginning of COVID, because remember, the beginning of COVID, we didn't have enough COVID vaccines. We actually had to think about, okay, first we give it to healthcare workers, then we give it to older people, then we give it to people with comorbidities. I think we have to think about who are the most important people to give it to right now with limited supplies. That would be men who have sex with men with multiple sex partners. Second is I would keep it, kind of reserve it for people who haven't had smallpox vaccine. People born before 1970, many of them have had smallpox vaccine. You usually know because there's a mark. And then third is I would actually give the first dose first and wait. Even if we wait longer than 4 or 8 weeks, give the second dose later when we have more supplies. That's what I would do if I were in charge of this response. We just need to get more doses out to more people.
So many people are looking at the response to this outbreak affecting the LGBT community and making the comparison to the early days of the HIV epidemic. And you've worked in this field for many years. So do you share those concerns?
I do. I share the concerns that being an HIV doctor, and I've been an HIV doctor for a really long time, it felt like at the beginning of HIV that things never moved fast enough. And it was partially because LGBTQ communities were stigmatized and there didn't seem to be an urgency around it. And that felt awful at the time with HIV. And it's feeling frustrating right now with with monkeypox. Making the comparison with COVID, remember all those testing delays with COVID at the beginning of our pandemic response in the US. We can't just wait for the CDC to be the only testing place. And that was the only testing place for monkeypox for a while until they contracted with LabCorp. We really just need to be a country that moves more quickly. And I have to say that I think the COVID response and the monkeypox response has made a lot of people wonder if we're ready for the next pandemic. And it means I think we just need to revamp our systems in the United States. We're too bureaucratic. We're too slow.
So have we already missed the window to contain monkeypox?
It is likely that we have closed the window to contain it completely. Now, that is a very interesting and important question, because containment usually would be if we had very few cases, we would try to contain with contact tracing, testing and contact tracing. At this point, with 13,000 cases in this non-endemic outbreak that started, or at least started reporting on May 13th, it's likely really spread and it continues to spread. So I don't actually think that testing and contact tracing alone can contain this. And just like those are kind of poor excuses for containment, vaccination was always the best way to contain anything. Meaning, even with COVID, we knew that testing and contact tracing could get us somewhere, but it was really we needed the vaccine. So it's really about what's called ring vaccination, going to places that are the most affected. Right now, the UK, the US and Spain has the highest number of cases in this outbreak. New York and California are the states with the highest number of cases. New York is leading California actually by far with 600 cases. It is really what's called ring vaccination, going in anyone who's exposed in a high prevalence region and getting everyone around their vaccinating. I don't think we're going to totally contain this, but that probably will mean that this may become a routine vaccination for gay men, just like meningococcal vaccine is a routine vaccination for gay men.
Dr. Gandhi, so good to get your expertise on this. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Dr. Monica Gandhi is UCSF Professor of Medicine and Medical Director of Ward 86, the HIV clinic at San Francisco General Hospital. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning into As Prescribed.